Okay. What I'd like to do is start first by talking about your parents and the village that you were born in Yugoslavia.
I was born in Austro-Hungary. It wasn't Yugoslavia yet. And my father went to South America and my mother was left pregnant. So when I was 3 years old, my mother followed him to South America.
Why did he go to South America?
Well, you know, most of the poor people went out to make a living.
Mm-hmm.
And my father was a very, very good stonemason, and he was a draftsman, and he knew all kinds of stuff. In this country, he would have become rich, but over there, he just made a living.
Now, you were already... How many brothers and sisters do you have?
Well, all together, we were six, but I'm the oldest.
Oh, so you were...
I was...
Already three.
I was three... No. I wasn't born when he left.
Oh, she was pregnant with
you. Yeah.
Oh.
And then when we followed him to South America when I was 3 years old. And the first thing I remember about my father, he had a big mustache. And when my mother arrived, I don't know what was wrong. I guess he didn't write to her or something, because the first thing she did is she threw me in his arms. And she said, "Here's your daughter." And of course she grabbed me, and then I don't remember anymore. Because I was only 3 years old.
That was the first time you'd seen him.
Yeah. So then, when I was about 4 years old, my mother had this brother of mine that I showed you the picture. And when she sent me to a friend's house to stay overnight, because in those days they didn't go to the hospital, you know, to have babies. She had a midwife. And I went to bed at the friend's house, and they told me, "Shame on you, go home. We don't want little girls up. Do this." So I put my little coat and I left. And I was going on the railroad tracks, you know, and I went to my mother's house. I don't know if it was very far from me. It looked like it was a million miles away. And all at once I heard the train was coming behind me, and the train was going beep, 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 beep. So I said, "Gee, I wonder why they're doing that." And there's a woman, this is in Argentina, by the way, in Cordoba. Was the statesman. And this woman was sweeping the front of her house, and she threw the broom, and she ran and grabbed me and threw me away from the tracks. And I was so shocked, and I couldn't understand why she did that. You know, the train would have killed me, and I never, you know, when you look like this, you don't realize it. So the lady is running after me, the one where I had stayed. She said, "Don't do that." She said, "You almost get me out of my life." So she took me home to my mother and told her what happened. So I stayed home. Then the next thing I remember, my father was sitting at a table, and there was maybe 10 or 12 men sitting with him, and they were all drinking wine. My mother was still in bed with the baby. So it was in the evening. And one man says, "Come over here, taste my wine." So I was a little girl and very nosy, and oh, did I talk? And I don't remember that I talked too much, but they tell me. So he said, "Taste my wine." So I tasted his wine. So the next man kept asking me. So anyway, it went all around the table. This is kind of silly. That's the only time I ever got a beating from my father. That's why I remember it, I guess. So by the time I got to the end of the table, you know, I was completely drunk. So when I got to my father, he grabbed me, and he took me in the house, and he took off his belt, and boy, did he give it to me. But it actually wasn't my fault. I didn't know any better. So, and that's the only time that my father, you know, hit me. So.
Well, and you're going back to what was then part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. You lived in Croatia?
In Croatian part, yes. It's called Bribir. B-R-I-B-I-R.
How large a town?
At that time, there was about 9,000 people. They tell me that I have been back there now, and it's only about 4,000.
Oh.
And it's, well, now it's better. I was there once. It was awful.
And your father was working there as a stonemason?
He worked as a stonemason, and he worked on railroads, and he made, can't remember what they call it, dams, mm-hmm. You know, making dams. And so my mother lived in a tent, because, you know, they moved from one place to another.
So the whole family?
Yeah. And I was just myself and my brother. And we had an awful lot of trouble with snakes.
Oh, wait, now this was in
Argentina.
Before going to Argentina. How old was your mother when you were born then?
21 years old. So she must have been 24 when we got to Argentina. She was a very, very pretty woman.
Now, did you first learn Croatian then?
Yes, I already knew the language when I went to South America.
Ah, okay.
And I used to talk so much, this I remember, they used to put me in a corner and they said they'd give you $5 or 5 pesos if I kept my mouth shut for 5 minutes. And I could never make it because I'd say it's taking too long or something like that.
Well, in the house, once you got to Argentina, in the house, did your parents speak Croatian or Spanish?
Croatian. But my mother had to learn the language and she never learned it very much.
Mm-hmm.
She spoke it, but mm-hmm. very broken. And then, of course, we moved around a lot.
Always within Argentina?
In Argentina, until the war started, the First World War. And by that time, my mother had 4 children. Myself, my brother, and then another sister, and another brother. And we were, when the war was about 1918, almost over, my father decided to come to the United States. So we started from Argentina, and we didn't go on the train, but we went on horses.
The whole family?
The whole family. And of course, by the way, my brother had already died, the oldest, from smallpox or some kind of epidemic they had.
How old was he?
He was about 6 years old.
Mm.
Then I was left with my sister. And on the way from Argentina to Bolivia, my sister got sick. She got this flu that they had. Influenza. So she died on the road in Tucumán. That's also in Argentina.
Now, was the family going to go by horseback?
No. We only went from Catamarca. That's the place where we were living at the time. And my father had been a contractor there making some kind of ditches.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I first went to school, by the way. And my sister died in Tucumán, and then we kept on going to Bolivia. And when we got to Bolivia, they told us we couldn't go to the United States because they had closed the entrance to the United States. So we stayed in Bolivia for a couple of years. In the meantime, my mother had another little girl. All because my sister died in Tucumán, the one that had the influenza.
So there were just the two children,
not there. No, that was myself only.
Oh.
See, my mother had myself, then I have my brother, his name was Bogoslav, my sister Mary, then I have a little brother called Felix, and that little brother drowned, that was before we left. So on the road, my mother had already left 2 children dead before we left. Then my sister died in Tucumán. Then we went to Bolivia, where Katie, my sister, was born. That's the only one living now.
She got pregnant after you got to Bolivia.
Yeah.
Well, when did you start school?
I started school in Argentina. You know, I never had very much schooling. This is funny, because we traveled so much. In Argentina was my first 3 years. Then I skipped maybe half a year. Then I went to school in Bolivia for a couple of years. And then I went to a convent, you know, where the nuns teach. And that's where I learned most of my handwork, you know, embroidering and crafts, because I was pretty handy with my hands. And there also the teacher was always telling me I talked too much. I remember most of my times that I was punished was because I talked too much a lot of time.
So the family, you were brought up Catholic then?
Yes.
Were they very religious?
No. My mother followed the Catholic religion, but she didn't make it that we have to go to church every Sunday or something like that. But we were brought Catholics. So
where were you living in Bolivia then?
Potosí.
Is that a small?
It's a big town. That's where it's a mining camp. Mm-hmm. You know where they have a millionaire Patino.
Mm-hmm.
He owns his mines. My father was also working as a stonemason there. And but he wanted to go to the United States. That was his intention. And then by this time, of course, I had this other sister when I was going to school. And I think that's when I learned the most. because, you know, when you skip school, you don't get ahead very well. But I was pretty smart, I guess, because I never had to go back to the grade. I always went to the next grade, and I always had a very good grade. So from Bolivia, we went to, oh, in Bolivia, something happened, I forgot. My father was building a railroad station, and he got two partners, and he had about 30 Indians working for him. When my sister was the baby, I think she was about a month old or less, Katie, my father went to get the pay for the men and everything, and he got paid 30,000 pesos on account because the work wasn't finished. And my father was not a gambler, but he drank a lot. So I guess he went and got drunk, and somebody got him to gamble, and before he knew it, he had gambled the 30,000. And in the meantime, he had sent us a carload of groceries, you know, for the man, because we were out in the sticks, you know, there was no town. And so my father didn't come home, but the grocery did. So my mother got all excited, but she was still sick, and she couldn't go looking for him, so she sent me to town.
And how old were you then?
I was about 11. And then...
how did you get there?
By train. Mm-hmm. And I had somebody with me, one servant. And he looked for him all over, in hospitals, in the jail, and all the friends and everybody else helped me look for him. Nobody could find him anywhere. So he disappeared. In the meantime, when he woke up in the morning and found himself, this is what we found out later, he woke up in the morning and didn't have any money. So instead of going home, he started walking across the mountains. And it was snowing, so he got blind. So some Indian found him and killed him with ice. He rubbed his eyes with snow and finally recovered his sight. So he kept on going. He went to Peru. He found 20 pesos, I think, in his pocket someplace, and that's how far the train took him.
But how long was it till you, the family?
Well, we didn't hear from him for 6 months.
So you had no idea what happened?
We didn't know if he was dead or alive or anything. In the meantime, my father's partners told my mother, well, he's gone, the money's gone, and of course the job wasn't finished, so my mother came out to be the loser. They didn't lose anything, because my father's share was later on divided, and that's what he would have had, see? So my mother paid the Indians with all the groceries she had, and we were left with a bag of flour and a bag of sugar. And we had to move, so we had to move into an Indian village with Indians. And I even learned to speak a few words of Indian, because I forgot already, of Quechua.
It is Quechua?
Quechua.
Oh, because I know that's what they speak in Peru.
Yeah, Quechua, in Bolivia too. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, we stayed there for...
How did you live while you were there?
My mother used to crochet, and I used to spoon the yarn. The old-fashioned way. Here they had a wheel, you know, but over there you wrap the yarn around your...
Right.
The wool around your hand, and then you go with the little... Mm-hmm. They call it uso. And I used to do that, and she crocheted the shawls and sell to the Indians.
And that's what you lived.
And that's how we lived,
So during that period, you didn't go to school then, did you?
I didn't go to school, and I didn't even read books. There was no schools around. My mother would have sent me to school, but there was no schools.
Did your mother know how to read?
Oh, yes. And she taught me, but she taught me Yugoslav. She didn't know enough Spanish. So I guess that's why I learned to write and to speak the language better.
Now, Anita, you said when you went to look for your father, you went with one of the servants. Does that mean that the family was fairly well off at that point?
Yes, because see, he was a contractor. And in South America, if you're not very, very poor, you must have a servant. And of course, my mother had about 30 Indians, not my mother, my father, working for him.
Mm.
But we used either the wife of somebody or the daughter, and they used to help us. So she couldn't send me alone. And we had about 2 or 3 men available in the house.
Mm-hmm.
So, but
how large a house did you live in then?
Well, it was a tent.
I see.
We had one tent for us and one tent for the servant, and then my father made like a lean-to for a kitchen. So it was very primitive, really primitive.
So even though you had some money at that time.
There was no houses.
Uh-huh.
See, only there was this Indian houses. So, and then it went with the job, you know, you get this tent. And we had a floor made of a railroad
ties.
Mm-hmm. So it wasn't too bad. I thought it was fun anyway. But I didn't have any friends because I couldn't speak very much of the Indian language. And then, you know, I wasn't used to them. But I did like their food because, you know, the Indians eat entirely different. They used to make something like, you know, the Mexicans make tortillas. Well, they make it over there. It's like a bread. They put it on their hot coals.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like a tortilla.
Hmm.
And so I used to change bread. I used to give them bread and they gave me tortillas because I liked it.
Was it made out of corn?
Of corn, mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So then my mother was offered a job as a cook by some Americans. I don't know what they were doing. Maybe they were some kind of geologist or something. But she didn't take the job because she said my father was jealous, and if he was alive and he found out she's a cook for somebody, he won't like it.
Now, you still haven't heard from
him? We haven't heard from him. It took 6 months when finally we got the letter. And he's sending us some money to follow him. Well, you know, I used to figure, well, after he left us, now that we know he's alive, I wouldn't even go to him. But I guess my mother was crazy about him. So immediately we packed and we followed where he was in Peru.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a contractor in Peru also. And by this time it was my sister, myself, obviously. When we got to Peru later on, she got pregnant again and had another boy.
Mm.
But
did she want all these children, or she just didn't know how to avoid it?
I guess she wanted them, and she didn't know how to avoid it anyway. But I guess if God gave her 12, she would have had 12. They didn't know anything about contraception or anything like that. So,
where in Peru was your father?
He was in Tarma, called Tarma. They were making a railroad from Lima to Ayacucho.
Mm-hmm.
That's the name of where the railroad ended. So he followed, you know, when they make the tracks so far, then he was making bridges. And he also, but this time we didn't live in tents. They would build us a little house, you know, those in a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
But then we used to have about two or three rooms.
And all this time you still weren't in school then?
When I got to Peru, I went to school again.
Mm-hmm. So you were out of school
in Bolivia? Let's see. Yes, I did go to school in Bolivia. Sure, I did. That's where I was in the convent.
Oh.
And that was in Bolivia. But then in Peru, for the first year, I didn't go to school at all. Then later on, I went to school, and I wanted to be a teacher. So imagine me skipping grades and everything, but I finished grammar, which over there is only 6 years, by the way. It was then. I don't know now if there are more. So I went to what is supposed to be high school, and I took 1 year of normal, you know, that's what they called it, to be a teacher.
And well,
in Peru.
Now, at that time, I presume that only the rather wealthy children are the only ones who went to high school, aren't they?
Well, yes, because the poor people, they just went to the sixth grade, and that's all. And nobody bothered you if you're underage and you don't go to school, this mm-hmm. I know. But my mother sent me not only to a school, but she sent me to a private school. And in Bolivia also I have been in private school. So I was going to be a teacher in Peru. And I was going to be 15 years old. And I remember because they were going to give me a coming out party. But my father was working on the railroad, and my father fell from the bridge where he was working, and he drowned.
Mm.
And my mother was in bed again with this baby that she had. So she couldn't go. So I never saw him, she didn't either. They buried him and all, and we didn't see him. She went later to his grave, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
So we were all waiting and fixing, you know, for this party that we're going to have on my 15th birthday. He comes in news that my father had drowned.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the end of the party, and he died on his birthday,
mm-hmm.
on the 19th of August. And my birthday is the 22nd of August. So, of course, when he died, the same thing. He hasn't finished the job, so you don't get paid you pay so much, but
mm-hmm.
very little money. So we left again, penniless.
And but up until this point in Peru, you've been living fairly well, haven't you?
Uh-huh.
So in other words, you've been in Peru, though, you've been accustomed to living fairly well, and you were in private schools.
That's
and
right.
everything.
So when my father died, of course, The same thing happened again. We left again without anything. But my mother was pretty resourceful because she didn't give up, you know, right away. She immediately, I guess we might have had, I don't know, a few hundred dollars or a few thousand, I don't know what she had. Some money, very little. And she opened a store, a grocery store. And they always did the same thing with the Indians. Over there they wear some kind of a shawl that is not crocheted, but woven in. And she put these kind of designs at the end on the machine.
Oh, right.
And she sell these. So we were doing pretty good. But I wasn't happy, even if I had been going to school and all.
Did you stay in school after you had
a job? Mm-hmm. And I finished that year. So we decided, not the way I did, because I didn't even tell my mother. So I wrote to my aunt here in the United States, and I told her that my father had died and that he would like to come over here. I had heard so much about the United States, and, you know, you come here and you just take a shovel and pick the gold, and so, and the women dress so nice, and then I used to hear how the women work in factories, and they put overalls on, and then when they come out, they take a bath, and they go home like ladies, and to me, that was something extra, you know, so I figured, I'm going to the United States. So
then it was what year? 1922.
Mm-hmm. And
did you think of yourself more as a Latin or as a Croatian?
I always have thought of myself more as a Latin. I don't know. My son, he says that I'm nothing but a Mexican. Well, whatever I am, I was brought up with them since I was a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have friends of my own nationality. Because we were always in camps someplace, you know, and I didn't have very many friends of my age, you know. So anyway, my aunt wrote back and she said, well, if we had the fare to New York, then she'd help us from New York here.
And where was she?
She was in Montana.
How did she happen to get to Montana?
Well, her husband came here when he was young. And later on, she came, and the same thing, I guess, like my mother, only they got married in Montana. So she must have been engaged to him or something in Europe, and because she got married in Montana. And so he was a miner. No, he was a smelterman.
That's why he was in Montana.
Yeah, in Anaconda. And so they sent us the money to New York. And we were in Ellis Island 2 months.
Now, why were you there so long?
First place when we got to New York, we had to have this bond. Each one of us had to have a $500 bond.
Mm.
And there was four of us, myself, my sister Katie, and a little brother, the last brother that I had, and my mother. And so we all got sick in New York. And when the money came for us, we were all in the hospital. I had some kind of boils. I told you the story about how I got full of lies and all that, remember? I went to the hospital with these boys. My little brother, they had given him vaccination, and from the vaccination he developed smallpox and pneumonia. Mm. My sister, the same way, she developed smallpox. So, and my mother, I don't know what was wrong with her, but she was all swollen. So we were in the hospital for almost a month.
You were in separate places?
Separate hospitals. No, all separate. And I, crazy enough, my mother would be on another little island, and I used to yell. You can imagine my mother could hear me with the waves and all, but I used to be so lonesome, so scared, and couldn't speak a word of English.
Was there anyone around who spoke Spanish?
No, there was people who spoke Italian.
Mm-hmm.
And the Italian and the Spanish is similar, so I understood quite a bit, much more than I do now anyway. Mm-hmm.
How did you came over from where? Where did you
come from? We lived from Parma, where my father had left us, you know, before he went from this job. It was a pretty well-sized town. And
you took my father down the coast?
Yes, we came by boat. But you know why we had it easy to come? Otherwise, maybe we would have never made it. See, my father became a citizen of Peru. And he went personally, and I don't know, maybe he was a well-known man, I don't remember, but he went personally to see the president of Peru, and his name was Augusto Leguia, the president's name, and he became a citizen without any trouble. And that's how we came here as Peruvians.
Oh, I see.
Because of...
So did you, as the children automatically became Peruvians?
I did. I imagine so, because we came as Peruvians, and we came to New York. I told you this before.
How long did the... Do you remember anything about the trip?
Not very eventful, except that we came third class because we didn't have any money to buy a better ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an awful lot of Negro women. Of course, I haven't seen too many Negro people. In South America, the Indians are a little bit different than Negroes, very few. But where they came from, oh, yes.
Probably Brazil.
I don't know where they came from, but we stopped in Cuba, in Havana. And I got off in Havana and I saw the town and that's all.
What was your this is the first time that you've seen any Negroes then?
I guess so, because the news was kind of strange, and I remember the women, we didn't have bathrooms, and the woman used to wash that, you know, we were all women together. And of course my little brother was a baby, I think he wasn't even a year. So, and they used to wash, and I remember I said, it's so surprised seeing how black they were, you know. But I never had any, the race consciousness, I mean, it's just either you're black or white, doesn't matter, but you're still people, you know. So, one thing happened on the boat that kind of scared me, and I didn't know too much about it, but somebody tried to rape one of the Negro girls. And I remember they put all the marine or the sailors in line, and they got the girl to point the men, and she pointed the men, and he swore that he was a married man and he wouldn't have anything to do with anybody else. They didn't do anything to him.
How did you understand what it was all about?
Oh, yeah, because, well, not too much. I knew that he was trying to do something to her, but, you know, at 15, you know a little bit, but if you have, see over there, you're kept away from things. You can't know lots of things.
So you knew very little
About sex. I didn't even know what he wanted to do to her, but what I had read, but still it's different.
So for instance, was your mother fairly open? Did she explain to you about menstruation at all?
No, it was funny. When the first time I menstruated, I got so scared, I went swimming in the river. And of course, I saw some blood, you know, going down, and I thought I got hurt, and I got out of the water real fast. But a friend of mine, a girl, had told me more about it, see? And she says, this happens to all the women, you know, when you have this and you're already a woman. And I didn't know too much about it. When I went and told my mother, and she started yelling at me, don't say anything, you just put this rag on and be quiet and don't let anybody see it. So I thought, gee, it must be something awful, you know. So she didn't explain very much.
How old were you then?
I was 15.
Oh, it was actually right before you came then.
It was... maybe I was 14, but it was when I first came to Peru. That's when it happened. So I still didn't know too much about it.
So even though you hadn't been told much, you knew that it was kind of frightening.
Well, see, what happened is I read an awful lot. I read all kinds of books, like good or bad. And of course, some of them I understood and some of them I didn't. And the only thing I love stories, I used to love. And of course, I thought, when you fall in love, everything is so wonderful, you know, everything is just, you live, like you say, happy forever after. Well, that's the way I understood life.
Where did you get most of these books?
I used to buy them and borrow them from friends and read all, when my mother used to hate me to read all night. But I loved to read so much, I used to put a blanket on the door so the light would show because I had my own room. But we didn't have electricity, we have lamps, and of course don't get too much light, but enough to read. And I remember I had to cover my dog so she won't see it.
What, when you were in Peru still in school, what were your friendships like with other young women, and did you have any contact with young women?
Oh yes, not too much. No, we weren't kept separate, but I was like a little bit too young yet, because I know I did fall in love. I thought I fell in love later. But I was not in school, but an older, to me, it was an older male. He was 27, and he was a German, but he was black, so his mother was South American. Very good looking. And over there, when you go by on the street, you know, they have the custom of saying, oh, how pretty she is, or how pretty legs, or something. And I was already dressed in black. I remember my father had died. And I was walking down the street, and I was so crazy about this fellow, but I don't think he knew I existed, you know. And I was dying for him to say something to me. So the first thing he says to me when he finally spoke, he says, look how beautiful she is. It's too bad that she's all dressed up like a widow. See, because we wore a veil and all that.
That was because of the whole Catholic
yeah.
thing?
Yeah, and because in South America they go for this business of everybody dresses in black. Even my little sister was 2 years old, I think, or three, and she was dressed in black. So finally, so I turned around and I told him, why, the impertinence? And he didn't die for him to talk to me. But I remember so well, I said, the impertinence to talk to me when I don't know you. So he laughed. And that's all. And I said to myself, gee, what a fool I am. He never talked to me. So he finally did talk to me later. But it didn't go too far because I was too young yet. And he was already a full man, you know.
Did they have, in this town in Peru where you were, did they have the evening paseo with the young women?
Yes. Mm-hmm. But I very seldom went because, unless I went with some friend, girlfriend. And I had a few girlfriends, mostly I didn't have boyfriends.
Mm-hmm.
I know there was one boy in school was crazy about me, but I thought he was a little kid, you know. He was older than I was, but still to me he was a little, I didn't want anything to do with him. But I did use him when I needed some, like I was very bad at drafting, you know, making pictures and this. And when I get a picture to make and I pass it on to him, so he'd fix it. All right.
But were you very protected, or were you able to go out without chaperones?
I went out without chaperones, mm-hmm. but of course I had the instruction not to speak to anybody. But that was before I had to go back to Bolivia. Then, when my father had left us, we were living in, like I told you, among the Indians. But my mother had very nice friends, and there was a big hacienda, and the lady. Seems that I was a children involved in everything. This lady had a baby, so there was a big fiesta. La Fiesta de Santa Rosa de Lima. It was in August. I must have been about the 30th of August. My mother sent me with somebody over to visit this friend. She had a baby, so she sent me to church. And they had a big fiesta, like a bazaar, you know, all kinds of Indian customs and dances and selling little things. And so I went to church, and being that the church was inside of the hacienda, like a chapel, I went through the side door, and I kneeled down, and the priest was saying the mass, and he kept looking this way, but I didn't pay any attention. After the mass was over, he came over to me, and he was very nice, and of course I was very happy that he was talking to me, so he went around and bought me all kinds of stuff. And then I went back to see this friend of my mother, and I showed her all the presents the priest had given me. And she says, don't you dare accept anything from him. You don't know him. He's no good. He might be a priest, but he's no good. You watch out for him. So then it got me scared, you know. So she went and got one of the Indians and told him, you go with Senorita to her mother's house and make sure that the priest don't get near her. And you go on the horse, and no matter what happens, I know he's a priest, but you don't listen to him. You take her to her mother's house. So it scared the life out of me. I thought, gee, I wonder what's the matter. So I went home, and the Indian came with me, and he told my mother. So she said, that's all right, let him come. And she had a big axe. She put the axe behind the door, let him come here and see what's going to happen to him. So that's an experience I had that was kind of funny, but...
You didn't connect it up with any kind of sexual thing?
I connected it with rape,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't know exactly how it's done or what,
mm-hmm.
but I knew there was something wrong like that. And I couldn't imagine a priest wanting to do anything like that. But this lady told my mother later that they couldn't help it because he was the priest of the parish, but that they had to watch out for all the young Indian mm-hmm. girls. So anyway, that's the end of Bolivia.
Now, were the in Bolivia, were the Indians and the I don't know, they're not called, what do they call it, Ladinos, I guess. The non-Indians would be called what in South America?
Mestizo for Indians.
Well, were the Indians separate, like, from the
no,
Spanish?
No, no, they were not. I mean, they, but you knew they were Indians because they dressed different.
Mm-hmm.
They used to use some funny kind of braids, and then they would dress different.
Mm-hmm.
But they went around with everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no, like here, was the segregation.
Mm-hmm. And socially, did you view them as being very different? Or?
No, it never dawned on me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I never had anything to do except when I was with the children, I liked to eat their food because I liked to taste different
mm-hmm.
foods. And that's all that I had when I was not in town, because we didn't live in town very long. That was in Potosí.
Mm-hmm.
And we did come back to Potosí while my father was gone. And my mother used to make some kind of food. I would call it something like with chili. Over there they call it ají. And she used to make rabbit with potatoes and used to sell it to the Indians or
mm-hmm.
whoever went
mm-hmm.
by, you know. And from the... my father abandoning us, or whatever you call it, I got sick, and that my mother put me in the hospital. And I got very friendly with the nuns, and wherever they went, I followed them, you know, because see, my sickness was nerves mostly.
Mm-hmm.
And I caught the smallpox in there, see? And my mother used to bring me food because the food was awful, the awful food they gave. So my mother used to come every day and bring me food.
Yeah. And it's after that that you got in, that you went to the convent then?
No, before. Before that. I was in the convent. See, I was in the convent when my father
oh,
was with us.
And did you actually live in the convent?
No,
or did you go to school
we went to school.
Oh.
And that's when we lived in town. That was before my father went to
oh,
and it happened to him. And then in Peru, when I... finished, I would have finished school, but see, it was either stay there and finish school or come to the United States. And I preferred to come to the United States.
Hmm. So you had the 1 year of normal school,
yes,
and you, but your plan was to teach.
Yes.
Was this something that, in those days, there weren't very many women who went into any kind of profession?
No, but in teaching, they did. Uh-huh.
And by this time, you had learned handwork in the
convent. Oh, yeah, in the convent. I did all kinds of embroidery and things that I saw in the convent. Sometimes, you know, somebody else will be doing something else that you don't do, but I used to watch. And you know that it stayed in my memory so long that when I came to the United States, I bought the thread or whatever I needed, and I would make the things that I saw in
yeah.
school. And now I can't even remember from looking in the book. Well,
now, this was part of the regular training in the convent, included the
yeah,
sewing.
Yeah.
If that was just
mm-hmm.
something proper that a young
no,
woman should do.
No, yes, that's what you have to know how to take care of. If I had stayed longer in the convent, I guess they would have taught me cooking and how to take care of the house. But see, I only went 1 year.
So the education was learned that you had to be a good wife, in
yeah.
other words.
Mm-hmm. So then, of course, when I came to Peru, I don't think they had a convent in that town. You know where the nuns
mm-hmm.
teach. So I went to this other private school. It was run by Americans.
Oh. Did you start learning English then?
Yeah, but like the little red hen and that kind of stuff. You know, I guess the first grade or something. And but I wanted to learn English because
mm-hmm.
my intention was to go to the United States someday.
Mm.
So even before anything happened, before we got real, we had the store. We had a house made of adobe,
mm-hmm.
and we were very good in the little store. Excuse me. So one morning I got up and I said to my mother, Mother, because I didn't use the word Mother, I said, what's that mirror doing in there? You know what happened? Somebody had made a hole during the night, the wall in the store, and of course the light was coming through. And I thought, it was a mirror. Then when we looked closer, the whole store was empty. While we were asleep, somebody had come during the night and everything was taken away.
Mm.
You know, the groceries and I can't understand how they did it, but my mother didn't hear because she was a light sleeper.
How did your mother take, it seems to me that there were so many ups and downs and she was always left with supporting the children.
Yeah.
How did she?
She was a very, very happy person. She was forever singing. And she was tall and slender and very pretty. She had dark hair. So, not black, but something like mm-hmm. yours. I call it dark hair. I was a real blonde in those days. She took it in stride, and she would never start. I think
she always managed
to do something. She was pretty handy, either sewing or crocheting or selling food or selling groceries, whatever it was. And of course, when my father used to drink an awful lot, and I know she hated drinking. Oh, she hated it. And he was a mean drunk.
Did he beat her up?
She almost lost the baby. The last story I have from a beating he gave when he was going to burn all our clothes. He piled up all the clothes we have, and he was going to put a match to it, but then she started hollering, and some Indians came and took him away, and she started running away, and she fell in a hole, and she got hurt, and she almost lost the baby.
Hmm.
And when the baby was born, he was all black and blue, and his bones were kind of deformed, but he came out all right. I mean, later
on. How did your father treat the children?
He was very good, and when he wasn't drinking, mm-hmm. and when he was drinking, he was just mean with everybody.
Mm.
I remember one time in Argentina, we had a store also. That was during the, must have been a depression. We had a store, and he got drunk, and he was going to kill my mother with a gun. So my mother called all of us, myself, my brother, and my other little sister, her name was Mary, and she sat down on a chair, and she put all of us on her side, and the little baby on her lap, and she says, "Now go ahead and shoot." And then my father, instead of shooting, he put the gun down. Mm. But he had it in for me because I used to answer him back. I guess, don't beat up my mother or whatever it is. This didn't happen very often, maybe 4 or 5 times that I remember, but they were bad ones.
Mm.
And then when he sobered up, he almost